If I haven't met you, my name is Nancy Gaines. I lead our connection teams here and just help with all things events and just all things getting together with people. And here at the park, we believe that church is family. And so we always want to create things in which that's really represented. So we have a really, really fun fall. I'm super excited. We have so many things that we already have scheduled out, as well as a few things that are in the works. But if you're new today, we have something called Starting Point. It's the first Sunday of every month. If you are new, or maybe you've been a while and you have some questions, or if you have any questions or want more details on some of the events that we're going to talk about, we welcome you guys to come. If you go right around this corner down the stairs across from our first and second grade room, there are teeny tiny little chairs because we are in a school and that's all they give us in these rooms. But we are going, myself as well as Scott Austin, we are going to just be down there. We can answer any questions we have or you have. We're going to share a little bit more about the park, and the best part is we get to hear your story. So we encourage you guys to jump in on that. If you can't make this Sunday, we'll do it again on the next first Sunday. So if we can pull up that next one. So for our fall, we have some really fun things. I'm going to focus mostly on next Sunday because it's a really big Sunday. If you can't see any of this information, it'll be on social media this week, so you'll have more details. But this upcoming Saturday, we have the Men's Coffee and Faith discussion. It's going to be at Scott Austin's home. It's going to be really great. We're going to have some of our coffee influencers, which I know so many of you, based on how much coffee you guys down every Sunday, would love to be a part of that. And they're going to kind of show you and walk through some cool, I don't even know. I'm going to try to talk about that, but I don't know anything about coffee. So pour over. That's, I think it's going to happen. I don't know. But as well as we're going to have a panel of men, they're going to be talking about how to like use your faith and talk about your faith in the workplace. So we really encourage you guys. Y'all, we had like 40 guys show up to that men's event last Monday. It was crazy. So we hope that those relationships and conversations will just continue at this event. So if you scan that QR code, that'll take you to where you can register. Now, next Sunday is a big one. It's back to school Sunday. And if you don't have kids, we still really want you to listen, because this is a part, something we're going to do in service is really big. So we are going to have at 8:15, you guys can come. We encourage your kids to come. So you get to drop them off even earlier than you normally do. At 8:15, Family Ministry is going to have a really fun craft. This is for all kiddos, whether it's like your itty bitties all the way up to high school. We're going to have fun stuff for them. You can drop them off in their respective classes. And then we have, if any of y'all joined us for our Raising Boys event, Shannon Austin, Tiffany Barta, we're going to add even more expertise from Megan Kirshner, who's been in education for many years. And this is going to be a back to school prep. So it doesn't matter what age your kids are, if they are going back to school, this is going to be a really great time where you guys get to sit in, and they're going to just hit on some really great things, advocating for your kids in school, how to prepare them just like mentally, emotionally, some rhythms that you guys can build. And we're so lucky that we have such an awesome group of expertise that they're just going to share all that knowledge with us. So that's going to be from 8:30 to 9:30. And then after that, we're encouraging parents, you'll grab your kids. And then all of those kiddos that are bumping up to the next grade, so all of our preschool kiddos that are going into third through fifth graders, the fifth graders bumping into middle school, all of those kiddos are welcome to come, and you guys can go preview their classes. That way y'all can walk with them, encourage them, get them really pumped. And we encourage that even now, start talking about it. Aren't you excited? You're going to your new class. I know my kiddo's been asking like the past 6 months when he gets to go to the kindergarten class, because we've made it that fun. So then 9:30 to 10, if you don't have kiddos, we're going to have a fun breakfast for you guys. So we encourage you guys to come early. And then during service, if you're a parent, if you're an educator, college student, we're going to spend time. We're going to pause in our service to be able to pray over educators, students, and parents. So we encourage you guys to come next Sunday. It's going to be a really fun. It'll be a long, but a good, good Sunday. And that's why we're providing tons and tons of donut holes for you guys. And then if you want to just put that other slide, you guys can just take a look at some of the other things that are going to be happening. There you go. We have a really great blueprint service project that we're going to be in the works. We're going to share more details on that. Dinner together, that's our rhythm that we do all the time. We're going to make it really great. We're not only just focusing on adults, but we're actually going to make groups, even for the kids. We're going to start focusing on how can we group our middle school kids and our high school kids so they can start building better relationships. And then we'll have School of Theology in October, and we're going to be doing Studying the Bible for All It's Worth. So super fun, so much good information. We'll give you all more details, but you can scan that QR code if you want to register for the men's coffee event, the back to school prep class for parents, or dinner together. So, Scott, try to follow that up.
I don't think I can follow that up. If I have met you before, my name is Scott. I'm one of the founding pastors here at the park, and we're going to be shifting gears today out of our Storyform series into a short 5-week series that we're calling The Rule of Life. And then just a little preview of the fall. Like Nancy said, School of Theology will be happening again in October. We're going to be studying how to study the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to engage Scripture with our heart, with the Holy Spirit, and with our mind. I'm really excited about that. It's a key portion of what I hope everyone learns as a part of the Park Community Church. And then the other thing is in 5 weeks' time, we'll be starting a very long series on Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible. If you haven't read it, you can start doing that now. And so, but we're going to be taking apart Genesis and really trying to understand some of the ways that God wired us for intimacy with Him and for community with one another, and then what it looks like to live in a world that's been broken because of the sinfulness of all of our choices. And so I'm excited about the fall and where we are heading. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to get into this new series today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together in this space. As we know, our community shifts and changes over the summer with people being in town and out of town. I'm just confident this morning, God, that the right people are in the room for this message. I'm just confident, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds in a new way as we engage what it looks like to number our days and to realize that the moments that we have are fleeting. We ask these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. So this is a 5-week series. Like I said, it's called The Rule of Life. We actually have a portion of our website that's dedicated to resources regarding the rule of life. And our hope is to both inspire you and provide tools for you to make a plan for this coming year. So first of all, what is a rule of life? Well, a rule of life is a framework for how we want to intentionally live out our faith, our values, and our calling in everyday life. It's not about restriction. It's about a rhythm. It's about freedom, and it's about focus. This is rooted in a historical movement. Early monastic communities used the rule of life to shape their communal lives together. But today, many individuals use this ancient tool to navigate modern chaos with holy intention. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We are supposed to be abiding in Christ, but so rarely do we know what that actually means. A rule of life helps us to stay abiding in Christ. Now, we're going to get into more details on writing a rule of life at the conclusion of this sermon. But before I get into details, I want to turn to Psalm 90. Because before we talk about how we create a rule of life, we need to ask the question, why do we need a rule of life? Psalm 90, the psalmist begins, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations." Now, Psalm 90, whether you know this or not, is the only psalm attributed to Moses, making it the oldest in the Psalter. Now, that alone should capture our attention. Written from the perspective of a man who walked through the wilderness, both physical and spiritual, it reads like a journal entry from a desert soul. Moses had seen the grandeur of God at Sinai and the judgment of God in the graves of an entire generation in the wilderness. Psalm 90 captures both awe and lament. It is not a lighthearted psalm. It is weighty, it is sobering, and it is deeply needed for today. In summary, I think what Moses is trying to communicate with the psalm is that in the face of life's brevity and brokenness, wisdom begins with remembering God's eternality, our mortality, and our need for his mercy. So let's get into it. The psalmist writes, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn man back into dust and say, 'Return, O children of men, For 1,000 years in your sight, God, are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept away like a new flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening, it fades and it withers away. So Moses begins with a list of, not with a list of complaints, but he begins with a list of praises, a declaration of God's constancy, that God is a dwelling place that suggests shelter, refuge, and permanence. We're in this season right now where my oldest son is about to move off to college, and we're talking a lot about how home is not just a physical place. And I was telling him the other day, I grew up in North Houston in a master plan community. It's fine. It's a fine place to grow up. But whenever I go back to that place, I still feel different there than I feel anywhere else in the world. Because I grew up there, there is a permanence to that place in my heart that I can't feel anywhere else. Now, I had a pretty good childhood growing up, and I understand for some people, maybe it's the opposite. But for me, home has always been fixed to this kind of place, and then everywhere else has not exactly been the same. God is saying, I'm your home like that. I am your dwelling place. I am that place where you truly are welcome at all times. Moreover, the psalmist used mountains because they are a symbol of permanence in the ancient world. Yet God even predates the mountains. What's happening here in Moses is something so critical for all of us to take note of. It's theology before petition. Moses is stating his theology before he asks God for anything. He is talking about the permanence of God. He anchors everything in who God is, that he is eternal, unchanging, and he is sovereign. He does all of these things before he prays and asks God anything. Theology before petition. We should also do this and begin all of our prayers with the adoration of God's character. But then, of course, comes the contrast of the psalm. He says, "You turn people back to dust," in verse 3. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day. Moses highlights the brevity and the fragility of human life. While God is eternal, we are dust. Genesis 3:19 echoes here. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Verses 5 through 6 then pivot to this poetic imagery. Life is like a dream that fades, like grass that flourishes in the morning and withers by evening. Moses wants us to see our smallness in light of God's grandeur, not to despair because of this, but because it will lead us to wisdom. For we have been consumed by your anger, Moses writes, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You've placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in light of your presence, for all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. I just kept going back to this one passage all week long. Have you ever finished a year with a sigh? You know that feeling where you're like, well, I guess we'll get it next year. Or, oh, thank God it's over. You ever finish a season with a sigh? I'll tell you, in the church world, the way we generally do this is usually somewhere around like next week through the first week in September, we are like, we're gonna get it. We're going to join God in the renewal of all things. And we hit November 1st and we're like, we'll get it in January. It's Advent. Just forget it. Nobody's showing up for the next 3 weeks. So like we just, and then we get to January and we're like, let's go. We're going to get it. And then we get to May 1st and we're like, we will get it in the fall. It's going to be awesome in the fall. I feel like as a family, we finish seasons with a sigh all of the time. I know for me, every May, I start with this idea of all the things we're going to do in the summer as a family. And then I get to August, and I'm like, well, we'll get it next year. We'll get it next year. We finish our years with a sigh. Moses says, for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. If you sleep in a hyperbaric chamber, maybe 90 years, or whatever we're doing to stay alive these days. But those years, he says, are about labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who then understands the power of your anger, Moses asks, and your fury, according to the fear that is due to you? Now, this section can feel really uncomfortable. because we prefer to speak of God's love and grace, but Moses doesn't shrink away from God's holiness. The Israelites had experienced God's judgment firsthand. The scenes right after the mountaintop in Sinai are brutal. There's no hiding from God. He sees even our secret sins, a terrifying and humbling thought. But Moses is not saying God is cruel. He's saying that God is just, and his justice is not avoidable. Verse 10 reminds us of our limitations. The years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength, 80. This is not cynicism, it's realism. Life is often hard, fleeting, and it's filled with toil. What he's asking us is, do you take God seriously? Do you have a holy fear of a creating God? Moses is suggesting that many people do not. In fact, I would argue that for most of us, we live our lives as if we are immortal and God is optional. We live our lives as if we are immortal and God is optional. But because we know in our deepest core that our days are numbered, we have to be intentional about what matters the most. Now, we tend to understand this concept when it comes to time with our nuclear family, and we tend to understand this concept when it comes to financial planning. With regards to a tight-knit family, you say, I want a tight-knit family, well, eat to dinner together as many nights as possible. Pray together as much as you can. Create a daily rhythm of sharing celebrations and struggles. We know how to make a plan for this. This is how to become more tight-knit as a family. If you want to retire financially, I am not an expert in this by any means, but I do think that I've learned over time through at least enough of those presentations, I am supposed to live within my means, I'm supposed to create a budget, and I'm supposed to seek investment advice from somebody other than me or the internet. Now, if I say, let's just say, I was sharing with the school theology class this morning, I have a whiteboard in my closet, which is where I extrovert a lot of my less clear thoughts onto this whiteboard. It looks a little beautiful mind. But if you put on a whiteboard and you said, I want a tight-knit family, you would write all this stuff out. If you wrote on a whiteboard that I want to retire financially secure, you could write all of this stuff out. Now erase all of that, and I want you to put on the whiteboard in the middle of it, I want to grow into a mature follower of Jesus and an elder in the church. What comes underneath that? How do you do that? What's the plan? Do you have a plan? Is your growing into a mature follower of Jesus plan as tight-knit as your financial investment plan for retirement? And at the end of your days, do you think we will more need you to be financially secure or to be eldering the church that is young and growing and wandering through chaos in this world? What do you think the mission of God will need more of you? And these are not mutually exclusive ideas, by the way. But if we have a plan to retire secure and we have a plan to do other things, how do we not have a plan to become mature followers of Jesus? Tish Harrison Warren said, we become our habits, and our habits shape our love. St. Francis, ever heard of him? He said, start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. So what if today you begin to order your days in a way that will allow you to grow into a mature follower of Jesus? Trust me, we need this so bad. Stephen Makiya writes this. He says, a rule of life is a holistic description of the spirit-empowered rhythms and relationships that create, redeem, sustain, and transform the life that God invites you to humbly fulfill for Christ's glory. Now, Moses pivots out of this very difficult section, and he asks for us all to pray for wisdom. He says, Lord, teach us to number our days. At a core of writing a rule of life, is to do this. It's to number your days, to not end your year with a sigh, realizing all the things that you said you were going to do in January that you failed to do. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days that you have afflicted us. And the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord of God, our God, be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Now, this is the heart of the psalm. Knowing that life is short, it shouldn't make us fearful, but it should make us wise. That means that we number our days, and what that means is that we live with intentionality. We let go of trivial pursuits. We ask what really matters in light of eternity. Moses pleads in verse 13, "Return, O Lord. How long will it be before you return? Have pity on your servants." He is asking for God's mercy, not based on their worthiness, but on God's compassion. And after all the hard truth, here is the anchor, that God's steadfast love, his hesed, is the only thing that can truly satisfy the human soul. Not success, not years, not ease, only God. So the psalm ends with a bold request. Make us glad. Let your work be shown in our lives and establish the work of our hands. So even though life is short, it's not meaningless because God gives us purpose. Moses is asking, let our brief lives matter in your eternal story. So Psalm 90 is a wake-up call for our age. We live in a culture obsessed with avoiding death, stretching time, numbing meaninglessness with distraction. And Moses gives us a different pathway. To live in awe of God's eternality, to know that he is truly our home, to live humbly in light of our own mortality, because life is short and we are not in control. To live wisely through God's mercy, to seek wisdom, joy, and purpose in his love. Jesus, the eternal Word made flesh, came into our dust to defeat death and offer eternal life. In him, the cry of Psalm 90 is fulfilled. So let's talk a little bit about a rule and a rhythm of life. So what I'm asking you to do this fall, and I'm actually literally asking you to do this, we're gonna spend the next few weeks on this, we're gonna help you fill this out. I would like to ask everyone here to go through this exercise and decide on the core components that would make up a rule of life for you. For example, you might list a few buckets that are most important to you. I argue and suggest you start with intimacy with God. What is your plan this coming fall for intimacy with God? Daily connection with God? Is it prayer? Is it journaling? Is it meditation on scripture, silence, intercession? The second bucket I think we should all have is one of study, Bible study. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Disciplined study of scripture has to be a key component of our lives in Christ. The third bucket for me is community. What is my plan this coming fall with my family, with my community of people around me? What is my plan for accountability, and what is my plan for hospitality in this coming fall, this coming school year? I think the next bucket is rest. What does it look like for me to Sabbath, to sleep, to recreate, and how will I establish digital boundaries in my life this coming year? And then finally, for me, the last bucket is mission. And in mission, we collect our work and our vocation. So we think of our career and our calling. Also, by the way, if you can't fuse career and calling together, you need to spend time on that this week. Figure that out, because we spend so much time in career. Understand how it fuses in with calling. But also, what is your plan for service, and what is your plan for stewardship, to steward the resources that God has given you? Now, you can adjust these different categories, like health, you might add in there. You might earn creativity in there as one of these buckets, learning or mission or other different things that you would put in there. But I would ask you to do something as just a quick exercise, is to ask some serious questions of yourself. When do I feel most connected to God? What drains me spiritually? What gives me life? What spiritual disciplines have helped me in the past? What does a healthy rhythm of rest look like for me? What relationships am I investing in? And where is God calling me to grow? So I feel like quite literally what I'm asking you to do is to take a format similar to this one I'm going to show you, where we think through things like intimacy with God, and we actually sit down and say, what is my daily rhythm of intimacy with God going to look like? So you might write in this category, I'm going to wake up and do Lectio 365 every morning. I don't know what that looks like for you. It might be memorizing a psalm, reading a psalm. You know, I'm constantly convicted by my eighth grader going into ninth grader because he wakes up every single morning with his Bible and he sits on the porch and he reads and he journals. I don't know where he got it from. It's not me. Dad's not anywhere near that disciplined, just to be totally transparent with everybody here. Oh, I should also say, if you are willing to do this and you are willing to invite somebody to keep you accountable to this, your failures in this exercise are more important than your success. And failure is fine. But we cannot succeed at anything if we don't plan to try to do something. So, daily intimacy with God, Lectio 365, my weekly intimacy with God. I'm going to take 30 minutes and I'm going to walk my neighborhood once a week and I'm going to pray for all of my neighbors. You don't have to do that. I'm just making that up. That's a thing. If you do that. Monthly, I'm going to spend a morning once a month away from all digital influence, just with my Bible. I'm going to take 2 hours. I'm going to go to Hardburger Park and I'm going to sit down with a cup of coffee and I'm just going to have time to intimately engage the scripture, just with my heart and my mind. Annually, I'm going to try to take a retreat every year, maybe with a group of people, but a retreat that's not focused on just recreation, but a retreat that's focused on growing together in our faith. I would do the same thing for study. What are your daily, weekly, monthly, yearly rhythms for your community? What are your rhythms of rest that you're committing to? And what are your rhythms of mission? If our days are numbered and we have to count them, we have to make a plan. And you know this at the core of who you are for everything that truly matters, except for growing in our faith. We're a mess. And we don't have to be. The monastic tradition speaks so loudly and boldly to us to go, you don't have to be a mess. You just need to make a plan. That's all you got to do. Sit down and make a plan. I encourage you to be simple, to start small, to choose sustainable practices, and allow room for grace. I'll leave you with this Tozer quote. I'll invite our worship leaders to join me on stage. Tozer said this. He says, time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it. You cannot slow it up. You cannot hold it up. You cannot divide it up, and you cannot give it up. You can't hoard it or save it for a rainy day. When time is lost, it is unrecoverable. It is gone. And so today, let me pray this over you, Psalm 90, verse 17. I want to pray this over you with the hope that as we go through these next several weeks together, you are inspired as well as trained in what it looks like to more effectively number your days, to grow into a mature follower of Jesus Christ and an elder in the church. Let me pray this over you. Psalm 90, verse 17. So then let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the works of our hands. Yes, establish the works of our hands. Lord, may your brief life shine with eternal significance as you live wisely, humbly, and joyfully before the face of God. If you guys would, let's stand together and worship.